Ephesians chapter 4 this morning. If you got your Bible, open it up. Ephesians chapter 4. If you didn't bring a Bible with you, there's one in the pew in front of you. You can grab that. And as we're going to read our text in a few moments, while you're finding your way there to Ephesians chapter 4, by way of introduction, I want to tell you a brief story about, or the story about a man by the name of Rufus McDaniel. He was a hymn writer, and when he was wrote over 100 different hymns, when he was in his early 60s, he went through a pretty painful experience. His youngest son passed away. And after he had that loss in his life, McDaniel kind of sat back and was just thinking about, he was an ordained minister in the Christian church, and he was thinking about how his faith would help him through and how he could rely upon his faith. He began to think about the difference that Jesus had made in his life. His son passed away in the November of 1913, and in the early months of 1914, he began to write down some words that kind of captured the meaning that Jesus had to him during that season of his life, and not just that season, but he began to look at his entire life, and when he began to just think about all that the Lord had done for him, he began to write these words that we sometimes sing and that Christians all over the world oftentimes sing. He wrote the words, "What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul for which long I have sought. Since Jesus came into my heart." He would write and continue and say, "I have ceased from my wandering and going astray since Jesus came into my heart. And my sins, which were many, are all washed away since Jesus came into my heart." What he was capturing for us in those lyrics, I don't know that he used our text as the foundation for that, but he certainly explained it, because what he was capturing for us in the lyrics that he wrote is that when Jesus enters your life, something changes. When Jesus becomes Lord and Savior, he brings a change into your life. And as we have walked through the book of Ephesians and we've began to understand who we are in Christ, what we're going to think about today is that change that Jesus causes in our lives. Because if you are in Christ today, you can say that you are new. The change that Jesus brings into our lives is not minimal or temporary, but rather it is massive and eternal. He changes everything about us. He changes our past, and he changes our presence, our present, and he's promised to change our future. And this part, this identity that we're going to read about today, this is who we are in Christ Jesus. So if you are in Christ Jesus, what we're about to read, this is you. If you're or not in Christ Jesus, what we're about to read is not you. It can be, but right now it's not you, because this identity that we have in Christ is not something that we can achieve. It's something, however, we must receive. And when we receive it, this change that it causes changes not only who we are, but what we do. Your activity for Christ is based upon your identity in Christ. Look at what Paul had to say for us today about how we are new. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. "Therefore, I say this and testify in the Lord, you should no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thoughts. They are darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them and because of the hardness of their hearts. They became callous and gave themselves over to promiscuity for the practice of every kind of impurity with a desire for more and more. But that is not how you came to know Christ, assuming you heard about him and were taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, to take off your former way of life, the old self that is corrupted by deceitful desires, to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the what? New self." It's right there. You can't get it wrong, folks. Come on. I know some of you are sad about yesterday, but this is Sunday. Jesus is alive. Let's get happy, all right? We're going to do that again, and I can stay here. I have nowhere to go today. I can stay here as long as it takes until we get this. Okay, we're looking back at our text. to take off, verse 22, the former way of life, the old self, verse 24, and to put on the new. Now y'all want to get out of here. The new self, the one created according to God's likeness and righteousness and purity of the truth. Therefore, he's about to get real fun right now. Therefore, putting away lying, speak the truth, each one to his neighbor, because we are members of one another. Be angry, and you're like, yes, finally, a verse I like. But then he says, and do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger, and don't give the devil an opportunity. Let the thief no longer steal. Instead, he has to do honest work with his own hands so that he has something to share with anyone in need. No foul language, or some translations say corrupt communication. No corrupt communication, no foul language should come from your mouth, but only what is good for building up someone in need so that it gives grace to those who hear. And don't grieve God's Holy Spirit. You were sealed by him for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, anger, and wrath, shouting and slander be removed from you along with all malice. And be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another just as God also forgave you in Christ. Look at that text again. Look how it starts off, and we'll see this in a few moments, but notice how it starts off describing the person that doesn't have a relationship with Jesus and how it ends by calling us to be changed. There's a massive change in the person that Paul's describing in the front end of that text and the actions he describes that's embraced by the person who's in Christ in the last part of that text. So Paul, what he's doing for us in these paragraphs, he's painting for us a picture of what it means to be made new in Christ Jesus. And to understand the picture that he's painting, I want us to focus on three elements of this picture. First is this. Paul gives us a picture of a previous existence. Okay, he gives us a picture of a previous existence. You see, the very essence of change, the very essence of being made new, is to make the form or the nature or the content of something different from what it previously was. Now, Paul is writing to believers. He's writing to people who were once not in Christ. Previously, their existence was not in Christ, but they are now in Christ and have been made new. So what he does at the outset, he reminds them of their previous existence. He reminds them of who they were before Christ, when they were not in Christ. So if you, this morning, if you are in Christ, the person he describes in verses 17, 18, 19, that describes who you and I once were, but it no longer describes who we are in Christ today. If you are not in Christ, these three verses, 17 to 19, they are telling you who you are. They're giving you a picture of who you are right now because you're not in Christ. You see, when he mentions the word Gentiles there in verse 17, he's not referring to people of a certain race. He's referring to anyone who does not know God. Because in the Old Testament, God revealed himself in covenant with the Jews. Anyone who was outside that covenant was referred to as Gentiles, and they did not know God. So when he says Gentiles, he's saying these are people that do not know Jesus. That they don't have a relationship with you. They're not in Christ. Look at what he said about our life before Christ, our previous existence. Paul says, and sometimes with Paul, you have to work backwards from the way he says it. He's a preacher, he gets long-winded. I know y'all know nothing about that, but for his hearers and listeners, they would have. And sometimes you gotta work backwards from what he says, and that's what we're gonna do in this section. See, what Paul says down in verse 19, he says that in our previous existence, there was a desire that could not be satisfied. He said in verse 19 about desiring the practice of every kind of impurity with a desire for more and more. You see, people are made for a relationship with God. In fact, when God created you, he put, according to Solomon in the Old Testament, he put eternity into your heart. So there is this God-shaped hole in your heart. And the reason that it's a hole and not filled is because through our sin, we rejected God. And so even though people are made for a relationship with God, when we chose to reject God, then all of a sudden we realize something is empty, so we start trying to find something to fill that void. We look for something that's going to provide the fix that is only found in a relationship with God. And the heart of man is restless to find something that will provide security and safety and significance and satisfaction. And people will look to all sorts of things to try to have that fix, to try to meet that need. The problem with that, however, is that nothing other than a relationship with Jesus can satisfy the desires of your heart. Did you hear me? Nothing other than Jesus will satisfy your need for God, because Jesus is the only one who is God. And you could try to fill your life with whatever else, but when you do, if you're not in Christ, you have a desire that's never satisfied. That's why you're always seeking more. You're always looking for something else. And eventually those desires cause, Paul tells us, they bring a callousness to our soul, a hardness to our heart. In our previous existence outside of Christ, there was a desire that could not be satisfied, but there was also a disconnect between us and God. In verse 18, Paul talks about how that we were excluded from the life of God. The reason that people have a craving that can never be satisfied is because God is absent from their lives. You see, when man rejected God, he rejected the only relationship that could satisfy his soul. And that's why even people who want nothing to do with God, they know something's missing from their lives. That's why if you're here today and you don't have a relationship with God through Jesus, that's why you know something is just not right. You may not be able to put your finger on it. You may not be able to understand it, but something in your soul is telling you something's not. And that's why those of us who are in Christ, when we're not living from this identity of being you, we sense something's not right. Because we're not embracing the newness that Jesus has brought into our lives. There's a disconnect between us and God. In our previous existence, Paul also reminds us that there was a darkened understanding of God. He speaks in verse 18 about how they are darkened in their understanding. In our previous existence outside of Christ, we were alienated from God because we were ignorant of Him. We could not see His beauty. We could not sense His glory. You see, the problem that we had was an inner problem. It was a heart problem. And that's why religion won't fix the problem. That's why you can go and do all you want to do and be all you can be and find the champion you, as one poofy-haired white teeth preacher likes to say. You can do all those kinds of things, and you will not, Joel Osteen, who I'm talking about, in case you're all wondering, you're Googling. You can do all that, and it ends up empty. It's not there. Nothing comes back, because God must reveal Himself to us. And when He reveals Himself to us, we understand it's the inner problem. It's the heart issue. And we can't work our way into it. We can't earn our way into it. It's something we must receive. This is a dark picture of our previous existence. I praise God today that this is my previous existence, not my current reality. I'm thankful that I don't stand in this position anymore, that I have been made new, but this is who I was before Christ. This is who I was when I was not in Christ. And listen, if you are here today and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, this is your current reality, but it can be your previous existence. You see, without Jesus, your soul has a desire that cannot be satisfied apart from Christ. You can try to satisfy that desire with the best things or the most horrendous things, but it will never be satisfied without Jesus in your life. Without Christ, there is right now in your life a disconnect between you and God. Apart from Christ, you are at this moment excluded from the life of God. Without Christ, your understanding of God is darkened, because your soul is darkened, and you can't manufacture enough light to brighten it. That's the bad news. If you're without Christ today, For those of us in Christ, we praise God because this is our previous existence. And if you're not in Christ today, you realize this is your current reality. I've got some good news for you. That's the bad news. And Paul oftentimes has to give bad before he tells us the new and the good. And here he's going to tell us the good news because he not only does he paint a picture of a previous existence, he also gives us a picture of a personal encounter. Look at what he says in verse 20. But that is not how you came to know Christ, assuming you heard about him or taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. The truth is in Jesus. The truth is in Jesus. To take off your former way of life, the old self that's corrupted by deceitful desires, to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, to put on the new self, the one created according to God's likeness and righteousness and purity of the truth. You see, the change that Paul explains, being made new, it's not something we can cause. There's nothing we can do that will create the change from our previous existence to our current existence in Christ. The only way we are made new is by a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. And Paul teaches us that the story of Jesus, the gospel, is what causes this change. And this truth that sets us free is found in one place. Did you see what? Notice what Paul said in that paragraph? He said, the truth is in Jesus. So, Pastor, I thought that I had a good definition of the truth or a good understanding of truth. And you may, but the truth is in Jesus. And so if what you understand to be true is not what Jesus said to be true, one of you is wrong. Guess who it is? It's you. It's not God. He's batting 1,000 still. We are made new by personal encounter with God. You see, when Paul talked about our previous existence, how we had a darkened understanding and how we were disconnected from God and how we had that desire that could not be met, guess what? All of that is fixed. Guess where it's fixed? Guess in whom it's fixed? One guess. Jesus. Because this personal encounter with Jesus, it includes revelation. He tells us the truth is in Jesus. Jesus reveals himself to us. He exposes our sin as we are, to use Paul's language, taught by him. In our previous condition, our hearts were hardened, but it's only through Jesus that God reveals to us that our hearts can be softened and enlightened to the truth of God. When you are convicted by sin, that's God revealing our need for a personal encounter with the Savior. When you hear the gospel, that you hear the story of Jesus, that is God revealing our need to be made new. And God has revealed all that we need for a personal encounter with Jesus. And it has nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with him. It involves a revelation, but it also involves a relationship. That disconnect, you were able to reconnect. Because we are in Christ, we, like the Ephesians, as Paul said, have come to know Christ. That word know in verse 20 does not just mean gathering facts in your head. That word know is a knowledge that transforms. It's more than intellectual. It is a relational word. A personal encounter with Jesus involves a person. It involves a relationship. And it invokes renewal. He talks about being renewed in verse 23, to make new again, to restore something to its previous condition. This isn't the external renewal of actions. It's an internal renewal of the soul. He says we are renewed in the spirit of our minds. Did you catch that in the text? We're going to come back to it in a few minutes. But he says we're renewed in the spirit of our minds, not the flesh of our minds, the spirit of our minds. There's a renewal that takes place internally. In fact, when you look at the language, it's fascinating, to me at least. When you look at the language of verses 22, 23, 24, it echoes the book of Genesis. I mean, for example, look at verse 24 again, where Paul said that, being made new, we are created, that's a Genesis word, according to God's likeness, that's a Genesis idea, in righteousness and purity of the truth. And so here's what God does. In making us new, God, in a sense, recreates creation and restores our relationship. Remember back in the, well, you don't remember back in the garden, you weren't there. I don't think you were there. But in your mind, go back in the Bible, in the Garden of Eden, before sin, everything is perfect. Relationship is perfect. God is perfectly known, then sin enters the fray. And sin messes everything up. And what God is saying through Paul in this is that when we are made new, God restores us spiritually to that condition again, to where God is known now. God can be known. We can have a relationship with God. It's almost as if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away, and everything becomes new. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. The foundation of being made new, the only way to be changed is through Jesus. That's why it's imperative that we have a personal encounter with Jesus. It's the heart of the gospel, and it's God's heart for you this morning. Paul paints a picture of a previous existence. And then when we come to faith in Christ, we have a relationship with Jesus. He paints us a picture of this personal encounter, but then he gives us a picture of a very powerful effect. The word therefore in verse 25 is very important. What Paul is saying is, because you have come to know Christ and embrace the truth that is in Jesus, back in verses 20 and 21, change will take place. And then he gives a list as kind of an example of some changes that will take place. Look back at that text. There's a change from lying to speaking the truth, verse 25. There's a change in how a person handles anger, verses 26 and 27. There's a change from stealing to doing honest work, helping others, verse 28. There's a change in how we speak, using our words to build us up, verse 29. When we were first married, I don't know if the kids were born yet, but Mandy wrote out Ephesians 4:29 and put it above the telephone, back when you had landlines and telephones and everything. And I'm going to tell you, that changed the tone of some of my conversations. When I went to pick up the phone, and the thing that I read is a Bible verse that says, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. I was about to talk about a deacon on the phone. But he says that's a change that takes place. It's a change and how we're no longer bitter, verse 31, angry, obnoxious, slanderous, malicious. Verse 32, it's a change that enables you to be kind, compassionate. It's a change that enables you to forgive others in the same measure that Christ forgave you. I'm going to be honest with you. And I don't know if you're like me. I look at this list and I think, there ain't no way. I think there's no way that I can make some of these changes. And you know what? I'm right. There is no way I can make those changes. There's no way that you can make these changes. We cannot do any of it because we simply cannot. The key is found in verses 22, 23, 24. Go back and look at that. Verse 22, he says, take off your former way of life. Take off the old self that is corrupted by deceitful desires, to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and put on the new self, the one created according to God's likeness in righteousness and purity of the truth. Here's what he's getting at. As a result of learning the truth that is in Jesus, as a result of having that personal encounter with him in salvation, you, through the power of the Holy Spirit, renewed in the spirit of your mind, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you take off your former way of life, you're renewed in the spirit of your mind, and you put on the new self that was created for you. That phrase in verse 23 is so important. Renewed in the spirit of your minds. This is something that is spiritual in nature. You cannot produce this change. You cannot make yourself new, but God can. And because you're being renewed in the spirit of your mind, the Holy Spirit is involved. And when the Holy Spirit gets involved, listen, the Holy Spirit will always, without fail, empower you to do the things God has called you to do. Every time. The Holy Spirit will always empower you to do what God has called you to do. He gives us the power to live out these effects in verses 25 through 32. As followers of Jesus, being made new by Jesus, Our job is to take off the old self that's corrupted by deceitful desires so that we can, verse 24, put on the new self. We are not called to create the new self. Paul tells us the new self is the one created according to God's likeness in righteousness and purity of the truth. Our responsibility is to put off the old self, to put on the new self. And here's the best way I can explain it. Our daughter's engaged to be married. And she'll be married in February of 2027. So we got a while to sell blood and plasma and all that stuff to pay for it. But one of the things that will take place at some point down the road is that she'll buy a wedding dress. Let me rephrase that. We'll buy a wedding dress. And on the day when she is married, should the Lord tarry us, and if the Lord comes back the day after, I'm going to be so mad at him. But I'm sure I'll get over it. But on the day when she walks down the aisle, she'll be wearing a dress. Her only job is to wear the dress. She will not make it. She won't produce it. She'll not pay for it. Someone else is going to make it. Someone else is going to pay for it. All she's going to do on that day is wear it. That's her only job in regard to the dress. That's your only job when it comes to being you. God's done the shopping for you. God's produced righteousness for you. God's produced forgiveness for you. God has produced kindness for you. God has produced all. God has paid the price to purchase. God has done all the shopping for it. God has picked it. God has said yes to every dress that you and I need to walk in the newness of life. Our job is to take off the heavy things that cause us to sweat. That's all I'll take off. I promise you're going to hit me further. Some are like, oh boy. Cue the music. No. Our job's to take off that which is weighing us down. And then to put on. I don't have righteousness or anything else to put on, but to then to put on what Jesus has already given to us. That's our only task. So we finish here in just a few minutes, and I got a couple of meetings to attend to this afternoon. At some point today, I'll get home. And when I go home, the first thing I'm going to do, I'm going to kick off these shoes, and I'm probably going to put on my pajamas, to be honest with you. I'm going to take off these sticky, sweaty, stinking clothes and put on something much more comfortable. Then when I wake up in the morning, guess what? I'm not going to come to work about it. You can go to Walmart in your PJs, but that, I think that should be a sin, but whatever. But ideally, I can't remember where I am. Ideally, when you wake up, you won't go out in public in what you wore to bed that night. You'll take off some clothes in the morning, and you'll put on some clothes appropriate for where you're going. Again, this is all in theory. Here's what I want you to do as a result of our encounter with Paul's text today. I want you to realize that Jesus has purchased all the righteousness. He just wants you to put it on. That Jesus has purchased forgiveness, and he's made you new, so he wants you to put it on. So when you, before you walk out the door, every day, my challenge to you to be this, before you walk out the door, to say, Lord, today I need to put off the old self and put on my new nature that you have given me. God, you've purchased the clothes. You've done everything. God, help me wear what you have purchased me. God, I can't be righteous, but you are righteous for me. So help me today to respond righteously. God, I can't be kind, especially when I'm to turn the red light at Stewart Street and Bear Hill. But God, if you would empower me today to be kind, I want to put on kindness. Help me be Jesus to somebody. Stop trying to manufacture the new life that you've been given, because it's already been manufactured. It's already been produced and purchased. Just put it on. Just start wearing it. And when you find that you're wearing that old self, and we all have a tendency, we got that shirt, we got those pants that are holier than a covenant of nuns, and we got all this stuff around, and we put on those things. And if you find yourself, you put on that old self, and it probably does make you feel comfortable, because it's the way your flesh is wired. But you find yourself putting on the old self, remember, it's time to take it off. Because we ain't going to Walmart. We're going into the world. And we take off our old self and put on what Jesus has purchased for us and show Jesus to the world. We are made new in Christ. Let's stop acting like we're still in our old way of life. Let's stop living like we're in our old way of life. Let's start living like we have a new name. We're going to have it in glory. We might as well live it on this earth. But maybe today you're here and what we've talked about has really no impact on you, because you are not new. You are still in your old self. You cannot change who you are. Only Jesus can do that. But he's willing to do it today. You won't achieve it, but you can receive it. And he has new life for you. It doesn't mean that tomorrow you're going to wake up and all your problems are gone. Not in the least. It does mean that the moment you place your faith in Jesus, you receive the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit empowers you to do what God has called you to do. And you don't have to live your old way of life. You can walk in newness of life, but you've got to get up from your seat and start walking in it as Jesus has provided it for you. I'm going to ask you, if you would, to bow. Let's bow together. We're going to pray in just a second. And after I pray, we're going to stand and sing. And as we sing during this time of commitment, whatever God's placed upon your heart today, I just want to ask you to respond to him. Maybe you want to talk about what it means to be made new by Christ, in Christ, and talk about what it means to have a relationship with him. We'll be glad to have that conversation with you. Maybe you have that relationship with him, but you realize that you've been walking, wearing the old way of life. It's time to put off the old self and put on the new nature that Jesus has provided for us. Our only task today is to put on what Jesus has provided, to wear his righteousness, his holiness, his forgiveness, to walk in the newness of life. So, Father, we give this time to you. We pray that we would be surrendered to you. And whatever you're calling us to do, may our answer be yes. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.